It's that time again.
Crotchet. You're listening to Crotchet. This Crotchet podcast is originating from the Crotchet homepage at crotchet.com. Your source for news, satire, reality, and fact-free analysis. Welcome.
Can't wait. I can't wait.
Crotchet.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's February in the middle somewhere, and we're here for another Crotchet episode, episode 6. But first, we'll start with next week's news now.
Coming up, next week's news. A Crotchet look at the inevitable mess this week's news will create for next week. Now here's Crotchet.
Yeah, so anyway, in an administrative blunder so large it could be measured in megatons, Trump's team accidentally fired over 300 employees responsible for protecting our nuclear arsenal. Apparently, during yet another late-night Twitter tantrum, Trump mistook a critical National Security Administration staff list for a deep state enemies list and ordered mass terminations. The White House later clarified that the employees were let go in a cost-cutting efficiency measure. Unfortunately, no one seems to know where several key nuclear weapons are located because, as it turns out, the people in charge of tracking them were among those fired. The Pentagon insists everything is fine, if by fine they mean that the U.S. has no idea where several warheads might be at this moment. Maybe they'll turn up in an unclaimed baggage auction. Meanwhile, the newly appointed replacements, reportedly handpicked from Truth Social's most active users, have vowed to do their own research on nuclear security. One, a former cryptocurrency influencer, reassured the public that nukes are just big bombs, bro, while another stated they were pretty sure they had seen one of the missing warheads in a Call of Duty game. In their ongoing quest to perfect the American dictatorship, Team MAGA is now working to evict federal judges by canceling leases on judicial offices. The official reasoning? Government waste. The real reason? Judges keep blocking Trump policies, and it's hard to rule by fiat when some robe-wearing buzzkill insists on enforcing laws. If successful, hundreds of federal judges will be left without offices. The administration solution? They can work from home, said a senior MAGA strategist, presumably wearing a Let's Go Brandon tank top. Critics argue that evicting judges is just the latest attempt to undermine checks and balances, while Trump loyalists praise it as draining the swamp. After all, who needs an independent judiciary when you can just make up laws on Truth Social? A MAGA lawmaker in Utah has introduced a bill allowing Nazi and Confederate flags in schools while banning pride flags. According to Representative Lefty McFreedom, heritage matters, but apparently only certain types of heritage. The bill, titled the Real America Act, argues that Nazi and Confederate flags are historically significant, whereas pride flags are political statements. Teachers have expressed concerns, but MAGA supporters insist that kids need to learn history. That history apparently does not include LGBTQ plus contributions, but it does feature Confederate generals getting participation trophies. As for students, they're reportedly confused. So I can't wear a rainbow pin, but I can wear a swastika? Asked one sophomore. Yep, replied the bill's sponsor. That's freedom, kid.
Crotchet. Listening to Crotchet.
Join Crotchet for a sharp, satirical dive into history's blunders, revealing their uncanny parallels with today's missteps in a segment we call Rinse and Repeat.
The Cultural Revolution, a 10-year joyride through ideological fanaticism, political purges, and the kind of paranoia that makes tinfoil hats look like a reasonable fashion choice. In 1966, Chairman Mao, feeling a little insecure about his grip on power, because nothing says strong leadership like fearing a poet with bad knees, decided China needed a full-blown social upheaval. His solution encouraged millions of teenagers, history's most volatile hormonal demographic, to form the Red Guards and go after teachers, intellectual, and even their parents, anyone who wasn't Mao's biggest fan. The result? Mass humiliation, public beatings, book burnings, and a national mood somewhere between revolutionary fervor and unhinged cosplay. Mao, like all great insecure autocrats, didn't just silence his enemies, he erased them. Professors, artists, bureaucrats, even high-ranking Communist Party officials found themselves labeled counter-revolutionaries and sent to re-education camps, which, spoiler alert, were just labor camps with a fancier name. Meanwhile, Mao's face was slapped on posters. His words were printed in a tiny little red book that every good citizen had to carry. And the country got a one-size-fit-all ideology. Whatever Mao said was good and everything else was a crime. It was a masterclass in thought control, proving that when reality doesn't match your vision, you can always just force everyone to pretend it does. Fast forward to 2025, and here comes Donald Trump, self-proclaimed enemy of communism, yet weirdly taking a few notes from Mao's little red playbook. For a guy that supposedly hates communism, Trump sure is getting cozy with its greatest hits. Political purges, ideological crackdowns, and an overwhelming desire to make sure only his version of reality exists. Let's start with his latest masterpiece, Executive Order 14151, the Ending Radical and Wasteful Government DEI Programs and Preferencing. It doesn't roll off the tongue like Great Leap Forward, but the results are eerily similar. Overnight, federal agencies were ordered to dismantle all diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. Employees involved in such initiatives were put on notice, turn in your woke lanyard, and pack your things. A national list of suspected DEI enforcers was compiled, because nothing screams small government conservatism like a taxpayer-funded blacklist. Then there is the latest decree, the official government recognition of only two genders. Never mind that this isn't how biology or medicine or reality works. The important thing is that it feels right to the administration, much like Mao's mission to destroy the four olds, old customs, old culture, old habits, old ideas. Trump's war on DEI, gender recognition, and corporate diversity policies is all about scrubbing away what he considers ideological contamination. Reality doesn't matter. All that matters is enforcing the right beliefs, and if those beliefs require a few career casualties and a whole lot of performative outrage, even better. So here we are, watching history rinse and repeat. Mao had his Red Guards, Trump has his online army of self-righteous keyboard warriors, always ready to expose liberal professors or accuse corporations of woke tyranny. Mao had his thought police, Trump has his legislative wrecking ball, making sure the country reflects only his vision of reality. The irony, of course, is that while Trump and his supporters froth at the mouth about the dangers of communism, they're busy running the same authoritarian playbook, just with more fast food photo ops and fewer red books. Instead of Mao Zedong thought, we have Trump's Truth Social rants, which serve the same function, a required loyalty test where disagreeing with the leader gets you exiled, whether from your job, your party, or the country itself. The more things change, the more they stay the same. And if history teaches us anything, it's that once a leader starts trying to police reality itself, things usually don't end well. But hey, at least there's still time to order your mandatory Dear Leader merchandise. This is Crotchet.
Crotchet.
Time now for Brain Raisins, where Crotchet takes aim at his little world of shriveled logic. Because if his old brain can spot stupidity almost anywhere, it begs the question, what's everyone else's excuse?
I was a young person once. I don't remember many details. It didn't last long, youth, that is. I don't remember being selfish or fat-headed or self-absorbed. Or as narcissistic as it seems some of the youngsters I meet today seem to be. But that's mainly because I had too much alcohol in the interim for me to remember. Add to that the usual senility old farts like me tend to manifest right after we start forgetting to zip our fly, and you arrive at my current situation. I'm jealous of their vitality. I'm astounded at their diversity. We humans tend to want to lump people in groups, assign traits to all that we only see in a few. And that, of course, is stereotyping. Not such a good idea, as it turns out. Gives too much credit to some, not enough to others. Young people today are a product of the technology my generation helped create, but millennials and Zs can't seem to comprehend that. But us boomers brought them into both worlds, the real one and the web one. The interesting paradox is that while part of this younger generation continued the evolution of the internet with innovations like Facebook, yet another part doesn't even know how to spell Facebook. One segment of this digital society designs software, while another just plays with it. One group of this generation takes their family and community responsibility seriously, while another simply exclaims, "Seriously?" One channel of this generation seems ambitious, pursuing advanced degrees, even going to med school, while another part cheerily ignores life's lessons of smoking and cancer, obesity and overeating, drinking while driving, and ultimately providing the hands-on medical practice their cohorts needed to become those doctors with advanced degrees. It's a little simplistic, I know, and maybe I'm stereotyping right now. It's just to a smaller group. No longer is there the Pepsi generation. You know, the generation we remember from the 60s and 70s, the New World Order is fragmented at best. Channelized is a better word. That's because young people today have freedom and lots of it. They can work from home if they want. If they choose, they could never leave the bedroom and go to class online. Just heard about some research that says over a third of them still live at home in their mid-30s. They can sit at home and have multiple relationships on TikTok, Facebook, Blue Sky, Instagram, and X. Thanks to technology, their desktops, laptops, their smartphones, tablets, Hulus, and Netflixes. They can tune into whatever channel of life they want and avoid the rest. Or not. It's a choice. We didn't have that kind of freedom when I was a kid. We had to go to school or work or both. We actually had to drive to the job or take a bus. When we got paid, we had to take an actual paper check to an actual bank. There was no PayPal, no Google Wallet, no Chime. In those days, Chime was the sound your doorbell made. If we were enrolled in school, we would have to attend class, take a test, and pass it. If we wanted to socialize, we had to get up the courage to ask someone for a date. And towards the end of the evening, we'd even have to pay for it. And in those days, you got in trouble when you tried to have more than one special friend. But today, as I peer into the wrinkled face staring back at me in the mirror, I see that I really can't smirk with glee at this new crop of critters, now cutting their teeth on reality. Yes, I do worry about those that don't seem to have a grasp on the underlying brutal realities that so far have been out of sight to them. And yes, I secretly I wanted them to suffer just a little bit before they grew up too far. But instead, even the most ignorant of this bunch are smarter than the average kid in my day. Even the loneliest can find a fan on Facebook. Today, thanks to change, the only things that need to come out of the closet are clothes. Not so in my day. The only consolation I ever thought I would get from my life is the satisfaction that someday I could tell these young rascals I told you so, knowing that they would have to go through the same crap I did. But did they? No, they didn't. That's because time changes things.
Wake up. This is the Crotchet Rant.
So let me get this straight. President Trump, in his glorious second term, is still wagging his stubby finger at Mexico and Canada for America's drug problem. I suppose it's easier than admitting that the real issue is our own customs enforcement, which, last time I checked, is staffed by our people, at least a few of them still. It's operated under our policies and guarding our borders. But sure, let's pretend it's all happening because those sneaky Canadians are stuffing fentanyl into barrels of maple syrup. Sounds like that TV show. And then there's our customs inspections. Trains, planes, cars all have to go through checkpoints, yet millions of dollars worth of drugs are still slipping through. We're talking about a system where 90% of the fentanyl entering the U.S. comes through legal ports of entry, not from some guy hopping the Rio Grande with a backpack. Just recently, a shipment of methamphetamine was found hidden in jalapenos and cucumbers. Nice try, cartels, but if you really want to get through undetected, you should have hidden it in a shipment of MAGA hats. So let's be real. Blaming Mexico and Canada is political theater. The real show is happening right here at our borders, under our noses, while our inspectors miss drugs but somehow manage to confiscate your grandmother's knitting needles. Can anyone in this administration explain how less enforcement leads to less drug trafficking? I'll be right here waiting, just like those customs agents who no longer have the staff to check incoming shipments. This is Crotchet.
Crotchet.
You've been listening to Crotchet. Be sure to visit crotchet.com for more opinions, ideas, and stories pertaining to our overly exaggerated sense of importance. Thanks for listening.
And this is how it ends.